Hi everybody, welcome to Tips and Tricks with the Visual Studio Debugger. This is part two of the DevNugget series. I'm Brian Hitney, a developer evangelist with Microsoft. Now in part one we looked at setting breakpoints. Pretty introductory level stuff. In part two we're going to look at location breakpoint modifiers. And this is where the real power is in the debugger. And you're going to find that the more you practice these, the faster you'll debug. And the idea here is to make the debugger stop only when we want it to stop. And we do this by placing breakpoint modifiers on our breakpoints. Breakpoint modifiers can be hit counts, conditions, or filters. So let's start diving in right away. We'll go over to Visual Studio and we'll be working with the same project we were working at in part one. So this should look familiar if you watched part one. I've got my Windows Form application here with a big loop button, and I'm going to go look at the event handler for this. Now you see here that what we have is the same for loop again that we looked at in part one. We're going to execute this loop 10 times, incrementing I each time. And what I'm going to do is set a breakpoint on our trace.writeLine statement. Now, when we set that breakpoint, we could see in the breakpoints window that we have no condition and no hit count currently set. Or I should specify that the hit count is set to break always, which essentially means that we don't have any type of hit count conditions set. The other thing I'd like to point out is the breakpoints window is very useful at seeing all the breakpoints in your application and any of the conditions and hit counts associated with them. So I always recommend having the breakpoints window open. Now, the other thing I recommended in part one is to always be in an active debug session before setting breakpoints. And you see that I am actually running in the debugger right now. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go and right click on the breakpoint. And you see that when I do that, we have a bunch of options that come up, where we can set a condition, hit count, filter, and a dialog box here that will pop up when hit. That's actually for trace points. We'll talk about that later. Now, I'll go ahead and click on hit count. And when the hit count dialog box pops up, you see that we have the option to break always. We can break when the hit count is equal to a certain number, when the hit count is a multiple of, or when it's greater than a certain number. So each of these can be useful in a variety of situations. I'll, in this case, just set this to break when the hit count is a multiple of 3 and click OK. And you can see that the first thing that happens is our breakpoint gets the plus sign in the middle of the glyph. So this indicates that we have an advanced breakpoint set. And in the breakpoints window, we can see that the hit count column has been updated to support the condition that we just set. So in this case, when hit is a multiple of 3 and the count is currently 0. So this count will stay active in the current debugger session. So right now we haven't run this code at all, so it's currently 0. Every time we run this, as long as we don't break the debugger, this will continue to increment. So if I'm in my application here and click Big Loop, you'll see that we broke on this line as expected, and we can see that the hit count column says when the hit count is a multiple of 3, currently 3. And if I go to the locals window, we'll see that I is 2. That makes sense since I starts at 0. So this is the third time through the loop. We can continue execution. And 5, 8, and so on, and then it won't stop anymore. And if I go over to the breakpoints window, we can see what the current hit count is on our application. So we'll keep track of the number of times. If I click it again, you'll see that the hit count is currently 12, and so on. So if I come in here now, what I can do is come into the hit count. I want to remove this. We'll just tell it to break always. Now it reverts back to a current to a regular breakpoint. Notice that the hit count is currently 20. So again, as long as we're in the same debug session, it will always maintain the number of times this has executed. And this brings up an interesting use for this. What we can do is we can actually set breakpoints. We might even set this to a ridiculously high value. For example, break only when I is greater than a million or something like that. And essentially what that lets us do is it lets us jam an indexer in there on the fly so we can actually see, get some visibility into our code as to which sections of code are running the most. And it might be useful in the debugging context. So what I'm going to do this time though is come in and specify a condition. This is a little bit different than just a count modifier. In this case, we can put in a line of code that represents some kind of condition. The checkbox here simply enables or disables the condition. It will always keep the condition in there, which is handy if we want to temporarily disable it and then come back in. It won't wipe out whatever condition we put in here. And we can either specify an entire condition that evaluates to is true, or just put a variable in there. If it is changed, it will break. In this case, we'll leave it to is true, and I'll specify a condition such as I is equal to 3. Now, the one thing to note is that the condition that you specify in here is language dependent. So I'm in a C sharp application, so the double equals makes sense. In VB, of course, it would just be a single equals. We'll go ahead and click OK. Notice that we get the advanced breakpoint set. The condition when I is equal to 3 is true, and the hit count will break always. What happens if I come back in here and click big loop? Notice that we broke. And if I go over to my locals window, I is 3. Of course, I can continue execution at this point. We won't break again, right? Because I, of course, will never be 3. Now, the one thing to bear in mind is that you can combine both conditions and hit counts. But when you do so, it becomes an AND operation between them. Now, the way the hit counts work is it may or may not be keeping tabs in a way that you might expect, based on the current debugging session. I almost never rely strictly on hit count modifiers because it is a little bit unpredictable, especially if you stop the debugger or change your breakpoints. Instead, I typically rely on conditions. Now, the other thing that we can do is suppose I come in here. Actually, let's play with this first. Suppose I put in a condition such as when my variable xxyyzz is equal to true. We're just going to make something up. Now, when I do that, notice that the condition does get updated properly. It accepts that condition. What do you think is going to happen if I click my big loop button? Well, if you said we get an error, you were correct. Notice that when we actually get to that breakpoint itself, it will give us an error, and it will tell us that the following breakpoint cannot be set. And it will tell us that the name XXYYZZ does not exist in the current context. So at runtime here, it evaluates that, and it tells us, you can see that the glyph here has been updated to be an error condition. So that makes sense, but that's also kind of interesting how the debugger didn't catch that until runtime. This opens up some possibilities for us. Let me show you what I'm talking about. So what I'll do is I'll come in here. And we'll go back into the condition dialog box. One of the other things we can do is we can examine properties. And in this case, suppose I'd like to break when my string builder is a certain length. So notice right away when I typed SB dot that we get full IntelliSense support. So I can type in SB dot length is equal to 5. Now, of course, this is just somewhat of an arbitrary value and very likely won't actually break. But I'll come back in here and click big loop. Now we executed, but we never broke. But the interesting thing is that in this case, we're not examining a simple variable. In this case, we're actually looking at a property. Now, a property is just syntactical sugar around a method. So we can get a little bit more advanced and start calling methods directly from the condition as well. And that's where we start getting into some real interesting scenarios. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in the next part. But what I'd like to do right now is come back in here, and in my condition, let's go back to that first example where we looked at I. So in this case, I'm going to say break when I is equal to 2. Now, what happens here? Remember, I said that this is language dependent. What happens here if I only put in a single equal sign? In typical C sharp code, if you do that, the compiler is smart enough to catch that what you mean is a test of equality. So it will tell you that. Do you mean to have a double equal? And it will warn you that. In this case, the debugger isn't smart enough to warn us that this is what we want. So if we run this now and I click big loop, we don't get an error, nor did we break when I is 2. So what happened? Well, if I look at the output window, you'll see that we're screaming through the application here. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and do a debug break all before my CPU melts. And essentially, this acted as assignment. I is 2. It kept setting I to 2 each time. So therefore, I This condition will never be satisfied, and our for loop essentially becomes an infinite loop. This is obviously an error that we made in setting this breakpoint, but this also opens up a real interesting situation where we now have visibility and we can set values in our application from the debugger. Now, of course, you might be thinking, well, we can really screw up our application state by doing this, and the answer is absolutely. But this allows us a lot more power in ways we can set objects and we can get insight into our application without always having to stop and restart our application. I'm going to show you some more advanced techniques as to how we might leverage that in a future part, either the next part or the part after that. We'll see how much time we have. So for this dev nugget, I think we're going to wrap it up here. And in the next part, we're going to look at doing some filters and doing some assertions on the fly. And this is where we can leverage some of these conditions to be a little bit more advanced and work for us. So stay tuned for the next section, and I'll see you then.